Welcome to Money Elementary,
where we talk about money subjects that we should have learned in school. There are no dumb questions except the ones we don't ask. We're starting from scratch so that we cover the very important financial basics.
Hi, it's Heidi, your host and
co-host Vanessa.
Welcome back to
Money Elementary.
First, thank you for sticking with us. We have come so far. We will take the time to fully recap our first season before heading into the next knowledge adventure, the world of investments.
I'm super excited to summarize all the beautiful things we have learned over the past 10 weeks and share our successes. I actually applied much of the stuff we taught y'all to my life and became a guinea pig for our listeners. We have discussed the fundamentals of raising our credit score, budgeting, buying a car, and even getting our first home. Let's do a lovely ultimate recap!
For today's ultimate summary analogy, learning the foundation of finances is like building a solid home foundation. If your home's foundation isn't solid, you get cracked walls, broken windows, tiles, and even your roof can go out of whack. Well, when you don't know the foundations of finances, your money can go out of control too. Let's start at the beginning. Credit scores. We talked about how crucial it is to have a good credit score. It affects not just the interest rates you get on loans, your insurance premiums, or even your job prospects.
Job prospects? What?
Yes, some companies want to know that you're responsible with your money, so they check your credit. For example, if you work in a high-clearance government or finance position.
Interesting. I don't think my credit score has ever been pulled, and I am glad, very glad it wasn't, because I don't think I would have been hired 10 years ago, anywhere.
I wouldn't have either. My credit score was horrible. It's not for all positions, but some do that.
All right, so let's play a credit score question game. Just to make sure that our listeners know, what is the highest your credit score can be?
850.
Ring, ring, ring. Yes, that's correct. 850. And what's the lowest your credit score can be?
300.
That is correct. So y'all need to know those numbers. What is the definition of interest rate? This is probably one of my favorite things I've learned on Money Elementary. This definition should be ingrained in your head by now. It's a fee the bank charges you for borrowing their money. If you don't pay that bank back, they can charge you interest until you pay it all back.
Remember, folks, it's not just about paying your bills on time, which is important, of course. It's also about keeping your credit utilization low, not opening too many new accounts at once, and checking your credit report regularly for errors.
All right, I'm going with more questions here. What is the magic percentage of credit utilization? On the count of three, I want y'all to say it. 1, 2, 3. It's 30%.
Yay.
That's something else I didn't know before starting Money Elementary, so I know that now, and I'm like, wow, I'm spending too much. I'm over my 30. I need to get it together. I need to stop spending so much. Anyways, yep, I will be throwing these questions to y'all rapid fire. I also want to know if I remember this stuff as well. On another side note, I would like to pat myself on the back, because since I started using what I learned about credit scores and staying within my credit utilization, I was able to raise my credit score, I think by like 100 points or 150. It's been very substantial.
Woo! That is incredible.
Thanks.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Moving on, we tackled the world of car buying. It's a topic so many of us can relate to. Whether it's deciding between a new or used car, understanding financing options, or learning how to negotiate with salespeople, there's a lot to consider.
Oh, for sure. My first car buying experience was an eye-opener. I learned the hard way about the importance of maintenance and unexpected costs, like those pricey tire replacements. It's not just about the sticker price or the monthly payment. It's about the total cost of ownership. In addition to car expenses, interest rates are high right now. Is this still a good time to consider buying a car or a home?
This is a personal decision that everyone has to decide for themselves. Currently, interest rates, yes, they are high. And nobody can predict when they will return to that magical 2% or 3%. Not everyone can wait many years for the interest rates to go down. So you have to look for other options. Like when you're buying a car, maybe look for those dealerships that are offering promotional interest rates. If your credit score is 650 and above and you need a car, try applying for those promotional interest rates. Maybe they are 2 to 4%. So we have to get a little bit more creative with how we find our money because of those interest rates.
What are current car interest rates if your dealership does not have one of those tasty 1.9 or 2.9% in-house financing options?
This all depends on your credit score. You might still end up with a 6% interest rate even if you have a great credit score. However, with a bad credit score, which is usually categorized as subprime borrowers, you could be looking at 10% or 20% for a used vehicle.
I'm glad you said that because 2 days ago, I was talking about how I would never get a car during these times. But God forbid, knock on wood, something happens to my car. Guess what? I would be buying a car in this market. Not everyone has the option to wait. So thanks for saying that. And back to our summary, we also ventured into the realm of home buying. A dream for many, but a process filled with complexities. From finding the right realtor to navigating the maze of mortgage options and understanding the roles of inspectors and appraisers, there's a lot to digest there.
Indeed. And let's remember the financial aspects. Budgeting for a house purchase goes beyond the down payment. There are closing costs, property taxes, home insurance, and more. It's about being financially prepared for both the expected and the unexpected. Let me just stress this one point. Many people get caught up with the idea of buying a house, but they also need to remember the costs of ownership, such as insurance and taxes. Well, here's the thing. You don't have a home without insurance. Please remember to include insurance because as everyday goods increase, so does insurance. The last thing you want is to buy a house with barely any money left to breathe, and then your insurance goes to an amount you can't afford. Don't buy too much house that your home insurance can take you out.
Hey, this goes back to knowing the cost of tires before buying a car, which we discussed in our car episode. We don't think about all the secondary costs. We look at the big picture and forget all the small details that can add up and cost us a lot of money that we might not have in the long run. As always, asking questions is critical when buying a home, buying a car, or for that matter, any big purchase. If you want more clarification on something, ask until you understand. We have tools now like ChatGPT that can explain these topics in great detail. Have those resources in your financial toolkit. Sometimes, I don't want to sound dumb, but my questions are important because I don't understand, and at the end of the day, my goal is to learn and grow. Throughout our episodes, we emphasize the importance of research and asking questions. Knowledge is your best ally in making informed financial decisions, whether disputing a credit report error, choosing the best car financing option, or deciding how much home you can afford. Know all these things. Know them all.
Speaking of questions, one of our dedicated listeners asked, what lenders would you recommend looking at in regards to buying a home? As with many things, it depends. An excellent resource to start with is NerdWallet. Google NerdWallet mortgage rates. Their form will ask you for an estimate of your credit score, your location, and if you're buying or refinancing. From there, you will get a list of companies to begin your journey. If you are a credit union member, you can also ask them what their current rates are.
There was another question, and that was, are quotes the same as a hard inquiry for a pre-approval letter? Rule of thumb, as long as the lender is not running your social security number to run your credit, it won't be a hard inquiry. Sometimes lenders give you a rough estimate based on how you answer their questions, but don't run your credit. Most lenders should request permission or written consent, but a lot sometimes go with verbal consent before doing a hard inquiry on your credit.
It's so exciting to hear questions from our excellent listeners. In addition to asking questions, negotiation is a skill that can save you thousands of dollars. Whether you're getting a lower interest rate on a loan, a better price on a car, or seller's agreements when buying a home? Always remember, if you don't ask, the answer is always no.
We also shared financial toolkit advice in each episode. We shared the Experian Boost to give your credit score a boost, where you can use your utility bills, and paying those bills on time can help you raise your credit. We also mentioned the overdraft forgiveness program most banks offer but don't advertise. You do need to talk to a human, but hey, a 15-minute call can get you your $25 to $30 back in your checking account, and I think that's worth it. We also visited the Better Business Bureau to compare businesses to leveraging websites like Zillow for home shopping and even Eventbrite to find educational events on home buying. So many resources are out there to help you on your financial journey.
Yep, knowledge is power after all. By staying informed and proactive, you can confidently navigate the financial world. From improving your credit score to buying your dream home, being well-informed makes the process smoother and less intimidating.
Absolutely, Heidi. Let's remember the community aspect. If y'all don't know where that's from, I don't know what to tell you. The voice, not that sentence. Anyways, sharing your experiences through a podcast like ours or in conversations with friends and family can help demystify personal finance and make it more accessible. We started working on Money Elementary about a year and a half ago, and when I tell you I have learned so much through this process, I am not kidding you. It has sparked a curiosity in me that I have never had before, and we hope it is doing the same for you too, and helping you start these conversations that sometimes we want to avoid, like budgeting. Budgeting. I avoided budgeting like the plague. Once I did a broad overview of my purchases, I could immediately identify that I needed to chill out on my Amazon purchases.
It sounds like you were budgeting. Let's change the word, because let's face it, we all hate the word budget. It sounds like a root canal that everyone wants to avoid. Instead, let's see it as a lifestyle change. So, when you're looking at your expenses, do you want your lifestyle to be a frequent Amazon shopper? If so, then go for it. However, if your definition of a lifestyle is to travel more or buy a new car, then what can you change in your current lifestyle to get to that new lifestyle?
I like that. Are y'all happy with your current lifestyle? Oof, don't answer that. Do not send me emails about that, unless you want to. I like the gossip. Anywho, or would you want to change in some way? As we wrap up this summary episode, we want to thank our listeners for joining us. We've covered a lot of ground, from the basics of financial literacy to the complexities of significant purchases.
And we've only scratched the surface. The world of personal finance is vast and ever-changing, but the principles we've discussed, education, research, negotiation, and preparation, they are timeless.
So what's next for our listeners, Heidi? How can they continue to grow their financial knowledge and confidence?
Well, Vanessa, first, keep learning. Whether through podcasts, books, or online courses, a wealth of information exists. Second, start applying what you've learned. Whether it's improving your credit score, saving for a down payment, or negotiating a purchase, take action. Let me say that again. Take action. We can all be in love with the thought of learning and dance around and sing about everything that we learn. But in the end, we have to implement what we learn, or else we're just hoarding information in our heads.
And remember that it's okay to start small. Small wins can lead to big victories over time. Whether setting up a budget, now officially known as a lifestyle change, saving a little extra each month in your high-yield savings account, or becoming more financially aware. Every step counts.
Absolutely. And don't be afraid to ask for help, whether consulting with a financial advisor, talking to a trusted friend, or contacting a community organization. People and resources are available to support you.
You know what? That reminds me that it's tax season, and I found out that here in Houston, we have an organization called Baker Ripley. Well, They offer income tax assistance for free if you meet their $58,000 yearly earnings threshold. All you have to do is set an appointment on their website during this tax season. The spots fill up fast for our Houston listeners, so fair warning. But maybe next year, if y'all didn't make the cut this year. And that's a wrap for our special summary episode. Thank you, Heidi, for sharing your wisdom and insights, as always. And thank you to our listeners for being a part of the Money Elementary family. Here's to continuing the journey towards financial literacy and empowerment. Remember, the path of financial success is a journey, not a sprint. Take it one step at a time, please.
Stay tuned for our next season, in which we will cover the world of investments with topics such as traditional Roth 401k and stocks. Ooh, riveting! Yay! Until next time, stay focused, stay motivated, and take charge of your financial future. If you have any questions or topics you want us to cover, contact us at questions@moneyelementary.org. Share this knowledge with your family and friends, because knowledge is power.
Toodles!
Money Elementary!
Money Elementary!
Yeah!
I think we need to add a guitar. I don't know.
Be-ding-ding-ding. There you go. There's your guitar.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, everyone! We are here at Money Elementary, Heidi and
Vanessa.
We want to clarify a few things before somebody gets the wrong idea.
Or a bad idea. And as exciting or boring as it may be, please listen through all of our legal disclaimer information so that you understand up front that in this podcast, Money Elementary, we are not a financial advisor. If you need advice, go to your accountant,
CPA,
stockbroker,
real estate agent,
psychiatrist,
psychologist,
loan officer,
therapist,
financial advisor,
or a credit analyst.
Nothing said during Money Elementary episodes should be construed as advice.
We're just two sisters who like to talk about all the S that we've been through and who've learned a few things while attending the school of life.
I can't wait to graduate.
Oh, no!
Just kidding.
That's the funeral. Well, that took a dark turn fast. Anyway.
Just two cute, savvy sisters with a decent internet connection.
A microphone.
A computer.
And way
too much time. What? We don't have that much time on our hands.
No, we don't.
But bottom line, all the content we share with you guys is stories of our true life experiences, shared anecdotally, and is meant for informational and entertainment purposes
only. We couldn't make this stuff up even if we wanted to. We hope you enjoy the information we give you and our show.
Thanks!
This is Money Elementary.
Got questions? Email us at questions@moneyelementary.org.
Remember, folks, it's not just about paying your bills on time. Let's go ahead.
I'm still sick.
Blooper! I hear all the crackles.
Those are Heidi's knees. No.
Or my knees.